My sound is okay?
Yeah, it's okay. I may want to boost you just a hair. I think
Okay,
I'll do
good,
that
good, good.
now. Okay. All right, we're live on Eurofolk Radio, and I'll just go ahead and start the talk show broadcast as well. Here we go.
Talk show.
Welcome,
live,
ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli here, and Pastor Greg Howard here. We're going to be continuing our series on 2nd Esdras. This is part 6 of 2nd Esdras, and I have to get my revised English Bible out, which has the Apocrypha and has the word race on occasion. And has the name, no, it doesn't have the name of Yahweh. That's one drawback. But it does have the Apocrypha and does use the term race where appropriate. Okay, which is very unusual. There's only one other Bible I'm aware of that does it, and that's the Farrar Fenton. That uses the term race for ethnos. Which is the exact definition given by Strong's. Race, nation, for ethnos, right? Okay, which Red Ice recording should be preempted by our live show. There's a delay. I think there might be a 30 to 60 second delay before our show takes over. So, okay, it's playing now. There, thank you, Celtic Warriors. All right, folks, we are live on both TalkShoe and Eurofolk Radio. How are you doing this evening, Greg?
Good, brother. I've just been watching the world melt down here the last few days.
Yeah, it's in a deep. Deep state.
How it's kept going for so long, you know. You watch the Jewish Ponzi scheme known as the stock market melting down. I'm sure the Jews have already cashed out, so the only people really losing money is everyone else.
Yeah, and 9 states have got forest fires. I guess there's like 100 separate forest fires burning out west. We've got China, some kind of massive explosions in China. One of their major seaports is up in smoke. The Chinese yuan.
Yeah. Korea.
Yeah.
Korea's about to go crazy.
Yeah.
Rattling the nuclear saber.
Right. And
the powder keg is smoldering right now, no doubt about it.
And the Germans are getting ready to go up in arm because in the last year, 800,000 black Africans have been imported into Germany, and all they're doing is committing crimes. So the German government is importing crime from Africa in the person of black Africans, and the German people are starting to get fed up with it. And Doc Waterman on last Monday's show did a Webbot report saying that the Jews are starting to leave Western European countries because they feel that they're going to be targeted very soon. And I can bet that's the case. So they're kind of like the canary in the coal mine, right? Just before everything melts down, the Jews leave, right?
So clearly the dragon's mouth has been opened in the white nations. The floods are pouring out of the dragon's mouth, and we've identified that as immigration of black-skinned creatures flooding into our nations that are literally flowing out of the mouth of the dragon.
Amen.
Flowing into our nations to destroy us.
Yes, and they've been doing this to us since...
Yeah, certainly not to enrich our culture in any
conceivable
way.
No.
No, I think we could do without that type of enrichment. I know I could.
Yeah, rap music, ankle crotch pants. Let's see, what other kind of... Oh, yeah, burning down cities like Ferguson and Baltimore and Detroit and Watts and the south side of Chicago. Yeah, this is a culture enrichment that blacks have brought to America. And of course, and I have to implicate the Catholic Church too. Catholic Church is just as bad as the Jews because they're helping to bring all of these illegal Mexicans and Latinos through their churches, providing them sanctuary in their churches. If the
surely
local,
many of our people are complicit in this, no doubt about it.
Yes.
They've been subverted completely, and they're you know, they're Judas goats, traitors to our people. It's sad to see it, you know, and of course they would be among the first to condemn us as bigots and haters because we dare raise a voice against our people being slaughtered by these things coming in.
Right, right. And by the way, let me just make a quick announcement. A week from Saturday, Sencha going to be a new guest. I'm going to do a new show. It's called One on One. It's going to be Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern for 2 hours, 3 to 5 Eastern time. I'm going to be doing one-on-one interviews with, you know, very, very conservative racist people, such as Cindy Steele and various other people. Sencha will be my first guest. We're going to be talking about white slavery and how the Jews are behind white slavery. Then Cindy Steele, I'm trying to look up Professor Kevin MacDonald and people like that, okay, to talk about the race issue. So that's the plan, and that's going to be a new show. First airing is going to be August 29th. That's a Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, okay? So that'll be listed in the Eurofolk Radio time slot there, okay?
Yeah. So yes. You describe them as very conservative racists?
Yes, yes. Yeah, and Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
That's a good description of me, brother. I think I would describe myself.
Well, yeah, I'll have to bring you in on the show one day. Right. Yeah, yeah. I'm suspecting that that China got a message about playing the markets. You know, playing their own currency, speculating in their own currency is what the Chinese were doing, right? Hyperinflating.
Yeah, that giant explosion over there. I saw the photographs of it. That was a weapon that was unleashed.
That's what I think. It was a weapon, and it was China was sent a message by the Jew World Order, not to play the markets, not to play the Jewish game, right? Of money changing. The Jews don't want anybody hoarding in on that territory.
That's their game.
Yes.
Maybe they throw you a bone here and there, but you don't give in and upset the Jewish apple cart.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, only hook-nosed Jews are allowed to pull that apple cart. Right? Nobody tips that over without paying the price.
That explosion, amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Clearly a weapon.
Yes.
Clearly a weapon of some kind, no doubt about it.
Right, yeah. And so, if anybody can find out about the Jewish connection there, you know, we'll be happy to report it on Eurofolk Radio. But I have to tell people one thing, because last Monday, Doc Waterman and I did a Webbot report in which he explained that the Webbot report has been predicting that white people will be turning against the Jews in great numbers, and the Jews are going to start feeling very uncomfortable in white countries, so they'll be leaving in droves in the very near future. He also predicted the long-awaited collapse of the dollar will be happening by 2016. And also, I was not able to broadcast on Veterans Truth Radio Network last Monday because what happened, Chip Tatum, who is the guy who runs the electronics of Veterans Truth Radio Network, he was detained by Homeland Security because he had actually purchased the servers from Homeland Security used. He got a really good deal on them. And then they found out the type of racist programming that we have and anti-Jewish programming that we have. And so they rearrested him and threatened to kill him and his family. So he has had to leave the country. He's in South America right now as we speak, trying to purchase new servers and get Veterans Truth Radio Network back on the air. It's probably going to be 2 or 3 weeks before that happens. In the meantime, you know, I'll just be broadcasting Monday nights the Master Plan on Eurofolk Radio exclusively until we get Veterans Truth Radio up and running again. Okay, so obviously the Jews are attacking us, Anybody who exposes their evil doings is becomes a target. And, and of course, you know that they took my website down in 2012. It took me 6 months to rebuild it. And I've been kicked off of several radio stations in the past, right? So we'll see. You know, I'm sure they're going to try to attack us yet again, but we'll see. I've been putting together a list of vicious attacks that the ADL has been doing against me and other patriots. And so, if they ever take me to court, well, if they ever try to do this again, I will take them to court. Okay. And the ADL is going to lose because they are violating our rights to freedom of speech whenever they shut us down like this. Okay. But we can expect, and one more thing, Red Ice Radio, who are very much on top of the, conspiratorial worldview and actually promote it. They did an interview with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, but they didn't air it because he was too racist for them. Okay. He referred to black people as savages, and they couldn't tolerate that. That was too far. That was crossing the line for them. So I don't know if he has a recording of the interview, but Red Ice Radio did not broadcast it. They did the recording, but they didn't broadcast it. Okay.
Brother, let's face it. The world hates the truth.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do any radio show where I can't speak the truth. You know,
right.
I mean, approach things in an intelligent
right.
way and everything. But, I mean, I have to be able to speak the truth about Jews, about race, our people, in particular about the white race.
Yeah.
And I know this isn't the words that are popular in the world today, but we're not out to be popular.
Yes.
I think our burden on the show is Yahweh's elect people on this planet, sending it to the elect. I don't really care about anyone else but the elect. The elect
right.
ones that he's chosen, that Ezra discusses, that we saw here a couple weeks ago, where Ezra was praying for Yahweh to complete the list of his people. The ones that have been sealed, the ones that will be clothed in white, which we saw to be the glorified Shekinah glory, our white skin restored to its original glory. That's where our
right.
burden lies. And we're not going to be popular as long as this world is in its current situation. In fact, we're going to be hated more and more as this world starts to melt down.
Yeah,
I've been waiting for this stock market meltdown. I'd be surprised if it doesn't continue. The Jews want to collapse the economy, and they've been setting the stage for it for years.
Yes.
And I'm not sitting here saying this is the final collapse. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But, it looks like it could be. I mean, our entire financial system is based literally upon worthless paper that Jews say is worth something.
Mm-hmm.
And the gold, I think, is long gone into Jewish vaults, probably replaced with gold-plated tungsten bars.
Right.
There might be a little gold left out there, but for the most part, it's been confiscated and, tucked into Rothschild and Jewish vaults, probably secreted away over in Tel Aviv, maybe over in City of London vaults, who knows. But they can collapse this thing anytime they want to collapse. They can make it happen.
Right.
And maybe we're really beginning to see it happen here. I don't know. It's hard to say, but you just get a feeling something is coming. It's been coming for quite a while. You get a feeling it's not far off. Maybe this is the beginning of the end stage of whatever their plan is. They certainly seem to be putting pieces in place. I found it interesting to see the almost total lack of media on Jade Helm.
Right.
Subject that I found fascinating initially, and there's barely a peep about it in any media anywhere, and I wonder, that
yeah.
worries me.
Yeah,
what are they doing?
Yeah, right. Right. Oh, yeah, a couple more things. There was another shooting in Ferguson where I guess a white cop shot a black kid who had pulled a gun on him. And so
right.
the blacks in Ferguson are up in arms about yet another shooting. So it doesn't matter that the black kid pulled a gun on the cop, right? I guess the white cop should just allow himself to be murdered, as long as the perpetrator is black.
He was a racist for defending himself.
Yeah, there you go. It's racist. It's white privilege to defend yourself.
He would have allowed that black to shoot him.
Right, you know? Right. And one other thing with regard to your folk radio, Alex Jones committed a major faux pas by inviting David Duke for an extended interview on an Alex Jones show, okay? And David Duke basically was talking about how the Jews control the world and are the most evil people who ever lived. And Alex Jones was trying to defend his, the world is run by neo-Nazi Illuminati people, right? And of course, David Duke demolished him. Absolutely demolished him. So
I saw a few minutes of it. Yeah, Duke handles himself extremely well.
Yes, he does.
Thought out. Wish he was Christian Identity. I'd respect him more. But
he's not.
But he's certainly high up the chain of the white nationalists and a proponent of the white race. So, I would support 99% of what he has to say, certainly.
Well, Alex Jones came off so poorly in this interview that he has not put it up on his own website. So, but we at Your Folk Radio have it, and it's up on Your Folk Radio, the David Duke, Alex Jones interview. So you can watch that anytime you please at Your Folk Radio. And we have a very good, thank you, Celtic Warrior. She just posted a link, the Alex Jones, David Duke exchange. And so we made sure that it's there. Because Alex Jones doesn't want you to hear it. Okay?
Alex Jones is such controlled opposition.
Right.
I can't listen to the guy at all. I just looking at him makes me crazy with his strange expressions, his bellicose style of speech, and, his complete never mentioning the true enemy in the world, the Jew by name, always referring to them as globalists and Illuminati. These vague terms that we all might have used years ago before we finally found out who the real enemies are on the planet. And I don't want to listen to anybody that doesn't name Jews by name.
That's right.
I don't want to
stop beating around the bush.
We're at war.
Identify the enemy.
Dedicated to the extinction of our race. I don't want to beat around the bush with it anymore.
Yeah.
We got to name the enemy, and I'm not afraid to name them.
No, we can't be. We got to. If you got cancer, you don't treat a hangnail. You treat the cancer, right? And everybody, as other people say, there's an elephant in the middle of the room, but nobody wants to talk about the elephant in the middle of the room, right? They're all pretending it's not there. Yeah.
A big hook nose elephant.
Right.
Uncle
I can visualize that. All right, brother, where did we leave off last week on 2 Esdras?
Well, we finished up chapter 3, and Ezra had got into, which is one of the most beautiful kind of messages of all the apocryphal books, in all the books, is this theme of exclusivity of Israel.
Right.
That Yahweh's plan on this earth, Yahweh's salvation, his covenant, his kingdom, eternal life, is not for everybody.
Right.
As Judeo-Christians stupidly and apostately teach today. But we saw where this conversation between the angel Uriel and Yahweh and Ezra was discussing this divine plan and how it came down through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, and it was only for the descendants of these people, and they were the only ones given the law. And we looked up those really cool cross references in the book of Exodus, where Yahweh said when he gave the law to these people, that he bent the heavens down, and he shook the earth, and he moved the world, and he made the depths to tremble, and he troubled the times. All of this to give the law to one group of people on the earth, and that was Israel, the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
And, this concept of universal salvation is a false heresy. It's a doctrine of devils. And yet 99% of our people buy into it. They identify themselves as Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody, Christian today, I marvel at that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a more misused term in the entire world than the word Christian.
Right.
Anybody can say they're a Christian.
Wait a minute. A Jew is misused too because they say Abraham was a Jew. How could Abraham be a Jew? There were no Jews yet. Right? It's absurd.
Cannot be a Christian unless you are white. Okay? I just want to make that clear out there.
There you go.
Books. Only white people, pure-blooded white men and white women, can be Christian. And even then, it's very specific within that homogenous group. You know, there's qualifications, there's beliefs, there's practices. You must obey the law. You know, it's the term Christian is thrown about in such a cheap, misused way. So, anyway, that was the message in chapter 3. And Ezra went on to say, is any other nation known thee besides Israel? For what tribes have so believed thy covenants as these tribes of Jacob? These and among other reasons, these books were never included in Scripture. Because these books make it crystal clear that the covenants are only for one racial group. You know, this concept that anybody that believes is all of a sudden magically put into the seed of Abraham, that's the devil's own lie right there. That's not the case. Well, seed implies racial purity, racial lineage. And that's what it is. And that's why all those outstanding genealogies are included in the Bible, in the New Testament. That's to establish racial purity and racial lineage. If it wasn't important, they wouldn't have put it in. I used to be bored when I read those. But now that I understand the importance of pure-blooded racial lineage, there's some of my favorite verses. Because I realized Yahweh included those in the scriptural record to teach us that pure-blooded lineage is part of salvation and essential for it.
Yes. Oh, by the way,
we have to know our own lineage back thousands of years. I don't think any of us know that at this point. But the point is, it's racial. Salvation is a racial thing. It's race and faith combined. It's not just faith, as the Judeo-Christians erroneously teach today. The Jews have put that nonsense in their ears. But there's very much a racial component, and that's why the topic of race is so verboten. The Jews have destroyed any conversation of race. They don't want us to be talking about race because they know how important it is, and they don't want us to know.
Right.
They're scared to death of us waking up to the racial truth. They're scared to death of the white race having an awakening. They know the day we wake up, really wake up, that's the beginning of the end for them.
Right.
Because we will realize what they have done to us over the last centuries, and just what they've done in the last century alone, we ought to, I don't really want to say on the radio what we ought to do to them, but put it this way, it's permanent. I mean, they just have did a number on us in the last 100 years to the tune of killing us probably well over 100 million white people, what they have done to us in the last century.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
100 million, I think, is a conservative number.
It is conservative. Before the advent of World War I, the white race was one of the most populous. Maybe only the Orientals outnumbered us. So our numbers have been reduced by 2/3 since World War I in various wars that the Jews created. Yes. This Sunday, we're going to be on Bloodlines. We're going to be doing a show about Romans chapter 9. I will be showing how Paul's words have been totally distorted and mistranslated, and the context totally distorted by the Judeo churches. For one thing, the word adoption in Romans chapter 9, there's no such thing as adoption of other races. Paul never said anything like that. The word is huathesia. Huathesia, and you've studied Greek, so maybe you can explain to people. Huathesia means to place a son That's actually what it really is talking about is putting an heir into place once he has come of age. That's what that word really means. Nowhere does the New Testament, including Paul, say that other races can be adopted and be brought into Israel. Wouldn't you say that Euthesia has been mistranslated in the New Testament?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Paul never advocated, that anyone other than Israelites could come to Christ. It was probably such common knowledge back then, he never had to justify it to anyone else that they were the only ones. It was probably crystal clear to everyone. You know, it's only after centuries and centuries of Jewish deception and dumbing us down to the point where we're half retarded anymore that, you know, we have to actually explain these things that at one time were probably just accepted.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway.
Okay.
I don't know, brother. Anyway, why don't we jump back in here? We're in the middle of a conversation here.
Yeah.
Between the angel Uriel and Ezra. And Ezra is, you know, pleading for more understanding of these matters. And, you know, he's remember he actually was kind of arrogant with this angel a little bit.
Right.
Saying that he could indeed understand all of these deep matters. And the angel was saying to him, oh, really? Okay. If you can answer me one of these questions, I'll show you the whole matter.
Yeah.
And he said,
how did Yahweh create the world? Right.
He says, go weigh for me the weight of fire, or measure for me a measure of wind, or call back for me the day that is past.
Yeah. Or get me a pound of flesh. Get me a pound of flesh from a debtor, right?
Obviously, three things that no person living on the earth do. You know, three interesting things. Oh, okay, go weigh me a measure of fire. Get me the weight of fire. What's fire weigh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, he had three simple little questions that probably immediately stumped him. And then and the angel said to him, you cannot understand the things with which you have grown up. Meaning you've grown up with fire, you've grown up with wind, you've grown up with days. You can't even understand these things. How then can your mind comprehend the way of the Most High? Meaning Yahweh, of course. And how can one who is already worn out by the corrupt world understand incorruption? When I heard this, I fell on my face and said to him, it would be better for us not to be here than to come here and live in ungodliness and to suffer and not understand why. We're in verse 13 of chapter 4.
Okay.
He answered me and said, I went into a forest of trees of the plain, and they made a plan and said, come, let us go and make war against the sea, that it may recede against us.
Oh, they must be harp. They must be inventing harp, right?
More forests. And in like manner, the waves of the sea also made a plan and said, come, let us go up and subdue the forest of the plain, so that there also we may gain more territory for ourselves. But the plan of the forest was in vain, for the fire came and consumed it. Likewise also the plan of the waves, for the sand stood firm and stopped them. If now you were a judge between them, would you undertake to justify and which to condemn? I answered and said, each has made a foolish plan, for the land is assigned to the forest, and to the sea is assigned a place to carry its waves. He answered me and said, you have judged rightly, but why have you not judged so in your own case? For as the land is assigned to the forest and the sea to its waves, so also those who dwell upon earth can understand only what is on the earth. And he who is above the heavens can understand what is above the height of the heavens. Then I answered and said, I beseech you, my Lord, why have I been endowed with the power of understanding? you got to appreciate Ezra's heart here. Ezra has been shown amazing amount of prophecy and fulfillment of Scripture, and his relationship with Yahweh was very deep, very profound. And he's got a heart to understand the whole situation. And he's kind of arguing back and forth here with this angel Uriel, who was the angel of the visions. You know, Uriel also went back and forth with Enoch quite a bit as well. And he continues here. Verse 23, "For I did not wish to inquire about the ways above, but about those things which we daily experience." And here it goes. "Why Israel has been given over to the nations as a reproach."
Mm-hmm.
"Why the people loved have been given over to godless tribes." Is this hitting home?
Yeah.
"And the law of the fathers has been made of no effect, and the written covenants no longer exist. And why we pass from the world like locusts, and our life is like a mist, and we are not worthy to obtain mercy. But what will he do for his name, by which we are called? It is about these things that I have asked. He answered me and said, if you are alive, you will see. And if you live long, you will often marvel, because the age is hastening swiftly to its end." Praise Yahweh. Now keep in mind, he wrote, this is approximately 2,500 years ago. This was
right. It's not fast enough for me.
It shows you the timetable of Yahweh versus our timetable. You know, Yahweh's concept of swiftness is at least 2,500 years from when this was said to Ezra. But, you know, the verse where 1,000 years with Yahweh is like a day. So this was 2.5 days ago in Yahweh's reckoning of time. Pretty swift. And certainly we're much closer to the end of this age than Ezra was during his lifetime. Ezra clearly had a burden to see the end of the age. And the angel says to him, if you're alive and you see it, if you live long, you will marvel, because the age is hastening to the end. But this was the burden of Ezra, and in a way, this is our same burden today. Why has Israel been given over to the nations as a reproach?
Mm-hmm.
Is that not our situation now?
Oh, for sure.
But look,
Jews run all countries, every single one of them.
Look what the Israelite nations, the white nations of the world, are going through right now. Are we not a reproach in our own countries?
That's right.
I mean, I marvel at the slander thrown upon the white race just in the United States, because I live here. I understand what goes on here. I read and learn and study what goes on with our race in all the other countries, and it's very similar, worse in some places. In other places, our people are just outright slaughtered.
Yeah.
South Africa comes to mind. You know, certain parts of this country come to mind. How about being white and walking through the south side of Chicago tonight around 1 or 2 in the morning? Do you like your chances to survive that? I would think not. Same with parts of my city, any city. I mean, if you're white, there's a target on your back half the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're white, being white anymore marks you out as a target. That's what it's come to. We have become a reproach in our own lands. And the people whom Yahweh has loved have been given over to godless tribes. What an accurate statement that is.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Ezra would somehow magically appear in our time right now. He'd look around and he'd go, yep, not much has changed. A little fancier around here, you know, but you walk down the street and blacks attack you. Blacks invade your home. Blacks carjack you. Blacks rape our women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been given over to godless tribes. I could imagine him walking into some Judeo-Christian church and listening to the message and looking around and seeing all the different races in the pews. And he would go, you know, the law of our fathers has been made of no effect. Clearly the written covenants no longer exist. And we are passing from the world like locusts. Our life yes. is like a mist. These are beautiful words. They're mm-hmm. they're kind of got a negativity to them. But
right.
It's beautiful, accurate yeah. language. He understood the race war was going on then.
Mm-hmm.
Just like going on now. Maybe it's yeah. a little different in some way now, but the bottom line is these verses are perfectly accurate for our time.
Yes, and he understands that the cause of our trouble is our own disobedience to Yahweh's laws. He perfectly yeah. understands that.
Excellent. Because he mm-hmm. says it. He says, we are not worthy mm-hmm. to obtain mercy. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then he continues here. This is so good. You know, this is such excellent teaching here. It says, verse 27... verse 26 talked about the age hastening to an end. For it will not be able to bring the things which have been promised to the righteous in their appointed times, because this age is full of sadness and infirmities. For the evil about which you ask me has been sown, but the harvest of it has not yet come.
Mm-hmm.
This is an interesting verse. When would you say this phrase, for the evil about which you ask me has been sown? Anytime I see a phrase like that, I almost got to think back to Satan sowing the seed of the serpent into the womb of Eve. And that's what I would think this evil being sown is referencing here. I mean, when Eve was impregnated by that fallen angel, Gabriel, according to Enoch, but let's just call him Satan, a satanic fallen angel.
Mm-hmm.
And he put his seed into Eve, and she gave birth to Cain, and the seed of Cain was put on this earth and began to multiply and go through various stages and race mix with various tribes, and culminating in this group of people on the planet today known as Jews. This evil that was sown, This evil has not yet been reaped, and according to this, it says, the harvest of it has not yet come. Clearly, the harvest of this evil is at the end of this age, is it not, brother?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
When the reapers come and snatch up all these satanic beings that we're surrounded by, that have been destroying and ruining this earth for millennia, that have been murdering our people for millennia, that are probably sitting on top of so much wealth right now they can't even count it.
Yes.
Just sitting there going, boy, you know, as soon as we initiate the end game of our big plan and we slaughter all these whites and get them the hell out of here, we're going to own this earth. This earth is going to be our kingdom.
Yes.
Well, we will have our kingdom on this earth.
And, of course, there's a cross-reference here to Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the wheat and the tares, okay? So here again we see that Ezra is anticipating the New Testament, okay? Where uh-huh. Yahshua says, that when the apostles, well, how was it the tares have been sown among the wheat? And Yahshua says, an enemy hath done this. Well, who's the enemy? Well, it's the Jew, the Jew, known as Nahash in the garden, known as the Pharisees in the New Testament. And the Jews yeah. admit that their religion, Judaism, is based on the teachings of the Pharisees. So here we are. What don't you understand?
Evil. Yeah, evil has been sown on this earth. And evil is just not bad acts of evil.
Right.
Evil is literally children of Satan.
There you go.
Flesh and blood beings.
Bad seed.
That is evil that has been sown on this earth.
Bad seed.
I was taught
seed.
In Bible college, anybody mm-hmm. could be saved. The most wicked person on this earth could be saved. All they had to do is have faith in Jesus. That's what your average Christian, so-called, believes today.
Okay. All right, Greg. Let me stop you right yeah. there. What about the devil? Did they teach that the devil could be saved? Is the devil going to be converted?
You know, they never went so far as to say the devil could be
never
saved.
Went that far, eh? But the devil's children can be saved. Okay.
Devil's children can be saved. Certainly Judas could have been saved, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, if ever there was an argument against universal salvation, I think Judas is a good point. Here's a guy that spent a couple, 2-3 years directly with Yahshua Christ and sold him out, you know. And if 2 or 3 years of close contact with Yahshua Christ did not save this guy, this was a guy that could not be saved. It's not possible for this person to be saved. He could not repent. He was a son of the devil. He was a Jew. He was a son of Satan. These creatures, there's no salvation for them. There's no salvation for any other race apart from the Anglo-Saxon race. They're outside the covenants. Mm-hmm. I believe some of these other races can, quote, believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
But I don't think that in any way brings them into any kind of covenant relationship.
Oh, of course not.
In the same way, my pet dog would view me,
right?
Master,
yeah.
As his master, as his lord.
Right.
I think these other races can have a relationship with Yahshua Christ along that line. Right. They can, you know, they can acknowledge him to some extent, but never in any kind of way like we are. We're sons. They can never be sons and daughters.
No, of course not.
Of Yahweh. It's very, very, very specific by race.
The best they can, the best they can get is a covenant of dog food, right? That there'll be food for them. Here, I'm going to because the Bible is very specific about with whom the new covenant is made and to whom it pertains, and so I haven't read it from. I haven't read it from this version, the Revised English Bible. Let's see what it has to say. The days are coming. This is Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. The days are coming, says Yahweh, when I shall establish a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. Okay. Is that all people? All
sounds
Israel?
Sounds like a pretty specific group to me.
It sounds pretty specific, right? It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, a covenant they broke, though I was patient with them, says Yahweh. For this is the covenant I shall establish with the Israelites after those days. Okay, with whom? The Israelites. Doesn't say anybody else. Israelites. I shall set my law within them, writing it on their hearts. I shall be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer need they teach one another, neighbor or brother, to know Yahweh. All of them, high and low alike, will know me, says Yahweh. For I shall forgive their wrongdoing and their sin. I shall call to mind no more. These are the words of Yahweh, who gave the sun for a light by day and the moon and stars in their courses for a light by night, which, of course, Ezra could not explain how Yahweh created that, who cleft the sea and its waves roared, and Yahweh of hosts is his name. Israel could no more cease to be a nation in my sight, says Yahweh, than could this fixed order vanish before my eyes. So as long as there's an interstellar law of the stars and planets, etc., then the Israelites will not vanish before the eyes of Yahweh. This covenant is eternal. And it's only with Israel. It's with no other people. That's what this,
you know,
that's
we
what...
are dealing with a race so profoundly cunning and evil, with millennia of practice at deceiving the elect. They have interjected all of this demonic theology to us over the centuries, probably very heavily starting back in the middle 1800s, when they did begin to assume the identity of Israel. And probably had a long-range plan of controlling all teaching, books, information, theological institutions, And you have to give them credit for executing this plan. Throwing the Scofield Bible in there was a stroke of satanic genius. We underestimate them at our own peril, and we've done it a million times. They tell us they're our friend, and we stupidly believe them, and in the meantime, they're poisoning the well. You know, I marvel at the false teaching within the world of Christianity. You know, the teaching mm-hmm. of who the Jews are, the teaching of who the white race is, the teaching of the other races. And they've actually tricked us to the point where our people will line up to go and spend their entire life trying to convert those that cannot be converted. The Jews must sit back and just
laugh,
chortle and laugh and howl at our stupidity
mm-hmm.
at sending some of our highly intelligent young people off to wild jungles to preach to Negroes, bring them to Jesus.
Right.
I mean, now that I see
to
clearly,
bring them to a pancake breakfast.
You know, I marvel how much falsehood Jewry has introduced to us of the truth.
Well, yeah.
And once we see the truth, Yahweh has unveiled our eyes to the truth. We see how much foolishness we used to believe when we were in the denominations.
Yeah.
I don't know how I survived my Bible education. I really don't. Yahweh was merciful.
Yeah, right. Well, you discovered Christian identity. You discovered Christian identity. That's the antidote. That's the antidote for universalism. Yeah. Yeah.
I saw the truth, and Yahweh dropped the veils from my eyes.
Amen.
And I
praise Yahweh.
That's it. Yeah, praise Yahweh for that.
Yeah.
Because not many come out of a background like that and believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not many.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm not the only one. I don't run into too many former, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't run into two more former Baptist ministers.
Right.
That I've seen this kind of.
No. No, it's like
let's get
a.
Back into Ezra.
Yeah. Okay. What
Ezra,
verse were.
Ezra references here. You know, we talked about how the seed of evil that was sown.
Right.
And there's actually a reference going back to the garden.
And sure.
This is what makes me really think that that's what they're talking about, that the evil that was sown was the original seed that was sown into Eve.
Absolutely.
That was where the evil was sown into the world. It says, if therefore that which has been sown is not reaped, and if the place where the evil has been sown does not pass away, the field where the good has been sown will not come.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is very much along the line of Matthew 13.
Yeah, the weeds choke out the wheat. The weeds choke out the wheat.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he gets even more accurate here. He says, for a grain of evil seed was sown in Adam's heart from the beginning, and how much ungodliness it has produced until now, and will produce until the time of the threshing comes.
Yeah.
These verses are so much...
right, the judgment day, right? The threshing, right? That doesn't sound good, threshing.
The Christian identity belief of Eve being impregnated by the serpent. You know, this whole concept that evil was sown in the garden. You know, we were all stupidly taught, well, they ate that. They were told not to eat the apple. They ate the apple. That was disobeying God, so they sinned. Blah, you know, such a stupid story that is. I bet a rabbi thought that up. The evil was becoming impregnated by a fallen angel and giving birth to a demonic being who would go on to reproduce and put a seed line upon the earth that would wreak havoc upon our people until the final day of this age. Some of the greatest verses that I ever came across in the book of Enoch were when Enoch saw Abel praying, and he said to the angel, who's praying over there? He was being shown the tour of the chambers where the spirits of the righteous went. And the angel said, that's the spirit of Abel, and he was praying. And He said, he is praying for the extermination of the seed line of Cain upon the earth, and that the seed line of Cain would be annihilated from upon the earth.
Yes.
So profound.
Yeah.
Notice he's not praying for the annihilation of anybody but this one specific group.
Right.
The seed line of Cain must be annihilated and exterminated from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Abel is still praying for that this very moment.
Yes, he is.
Because it happened, and I don't think he's done praying until it happens. His spirit is in that chamber praying. And I got to admit, once in a while, I join in with him in prayer.
Yeah.
I say, Abel, brother, how you doing? I'm praying
right.
with you. I'm adding my prayer to yours that the seed line of Cain upon this earth would be exterminated. I've prayed with him.
Amen.
I think I'm going to know him when I see him.
Yeah. Because evil cannot be converted. Evil must be destroyed. This is what so many Christians
do not understand. Praying. Send some missionaries to the seed line of Cain. They need to be converted. We need to save their soul.
Right.
We don't want
the Bible
to
says
to
they can't
they
be saved.
But he's not saying Jesus died for all of them. They got to be saved. He's praying to Yahweh to exterminate an entire seed line of people.
That's right.
I don't think he'd be very popular in the Christian churches today, do you?
No.
No,
well, Jesus wouldn't. Yahshua would not make it in today's churches. They'd throw him out. Because he'd be teaching exclusivity.
The first time he opened his mouth, you know, they'd arrest him.
Yeah.
The ARA'd be all over him, you know.
Yeah.
The Southern Poverty Law Center would file lawsuits against him. He'd be labeled a Nazi.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're seeing here that the time of the threshing will bring the end of this evil that is attacking us nonstop. It says, verse 31, consider now for yourself how much fruit of ungodliness a grain of evil seed has produced. What a great verse.
Mm-hmm.
It was 100 years ago when this angel said this to Ezra. Look what the Jews have done in terms of inflicting evil upon this earth in the last 2,500 years. And brother, if you just talk the last 100 years, what they've done.
Yeah.
I mean, Alexander Solzhenitsyn estimated that 66 million white Russian people were slaughtered by Bolshevik Jewry during the Great Purges. Early 1900s to 1925, about 1930.
Right.
During those few decades, he estimated 66 million white people were slaughtered in the most horrific ways that I don't even want to mention because it freaks me out.
They were tortured. They were very painfully tortured by the Jew Bolsheviks. Yeah.
Tortured in the most horrific ways possible, mercilessly, by Jews who at that time answered to no one.
Right.
So their true evil nature was just allowed to have full expression of hatred toward us.
Okay, I want to back up what you were just saying about the Jews must be exterminated. You know, the seed line of Cain must be exterminated. And, of course, Ezra agrees with that, and so does Yahshua Messiah. Okay. This is Matthew chapter 23. I'm going to start reading from verse 28. And this, again, is the Revised English Bible. So it is with you. He's speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. He addresses them as hypocrites. Outwardly, you look like honest men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Alas for you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You build up the tombs of the prophets and embellish the monuments of the saints. And you say, if we had been living in the time of our forefathers, we should never have taken part with them in the murder of the prophets. So you acknowledge that you are the sons of those who killed the prophets. Go on then. Finish off what your fathers began. Snakes, vipers, brood. How can you escape being condemned to hell? I am sending you, therefore, prophets and wise men and teachers of the law, Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others you will flog in your synagogues and hound them from city to city. So on you will fall the guilt of all the innocent blood spilt on the ground, from the blood of innocent Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly, I tell you, this race will bear the guilt of it all.
Amen. Not this generation.
Right.
Where, you know, whatever that word may have meant at that time. Yeah. It's very confusing that term now.
Yeah.
It's that this race.
This is brood of vipers. Yes, this generation of vipers, as it's translated in the King James. It's properly translated as race. Yeah. Okay.
He was discussing what Abel was praying about.
That's right.
The seed line of Cain. No doubt about it. He called them vipers.
Yes.
No salvation for a viper. Only judgment.
Okay, please continue.
These are outstanding verses here discussing the end of the age.
Right.
But what about this statement? Consider now for yourself, Ezra, how much fruit of ungodliness a grain of evil seed has produced. Just to paraphrase, consider now, Ezra, how much evil the seed line of Cain that was sown into the womb of Eve has produced upon the earth.
Yeah, or how much seed. Or how much evil one Jew can do in the world, right? It's amazing.
Look what happened to the world when Eve gave birth to Cain.
Mm-hmm.
Look what has happened from that time. And Cain, boy, as soon as he got up and running, one of the first things he does, murders his brother. Then lies about it. This was the fruit of evil put upon the earth by the fallen angel race. And we have been cursed by it ever since. It has dictated what has gone on in the history of the world ever since. It will continue to be horrific. Look at the chaos in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the seed line of Cain doing what it is that they do with the cooperation of evil spirits, demons, wrecking havoc on the earth. It will get worse.
Yeah.
What a statement by this angel. Consider how much fruit of ungodliness a grain of evil seed has produced. Verse 32, when heads of grain without number are sown, how great a threshing floor they will fill.
Right. Well, count the Jews.
He's referencing here the spread of the evil seed.
Yeah, count the Jews.
Started off as a single grain of evil seed, but he says there will be heads of grain without number.
Right.
Will be sown.
Oh, and whatever number you count, add 6 million to it, because that's a lie too. Right? There's always 6 million more.
How does your translation read verse 31 and 32?
Yeah, it's great. Reckon this up. If one grain of evil seed has produced so great a crop of godlessness, how vast a harvest will there be when seeds beyond number have been sown? Look at the world today. Look at all the evil that the Jews have sown in the world today. I mean,
talking about people here. He's talking about Jews.
Yes.
He's talking about the seed of Cain on the earth. It started with a single seed sown into Eve. And then it will continue to be sown heads of grain, just like Matthew 13, heads of grain without number, tares. How great a threshing floor will they fill? This is the harvest at the end of the age that he's referencing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Harvest of the seed line of Cain that will be slaughtered. Abel's prayer. Can you imagine how crazy Abel's going to be with rejoicing?
Right. Yeah. Lord, you made me wait 6,000 years. 6,000 years.
He's probably a little impatient about
that. Yeah, I would think so.
I would think he's a little annoyed, a little impatient. I can imagine he's going to be pretty happy when it happens.
Yeah.
He's going to say, Yahweh, it's about time. Well, I've been praying for this for 6,000 years.
Right.
Thank you for finally fulfilling. Of course, Abel probably now has a clear view of Yahweh's timetable. 6,000 years seems like a long time to us. Mm. But if you've already passed from this life to the next life, I'm guessing 1,000 years to you probably seems like Yahweh's timetable.
Yeah.
Maybe it only seems like 6 days to Abel. We'll see.
Time drags on.
Brother, right. This is hardcore Christian identity theology.
It sure is. It's very hardcore.
This Christian identity 101, Eve being impregnated with the seed line of Cain and Jews being traced back to this, and there are indeed evil people on the earth that are of satanic origin.
No blind Jew worship here.
Destroyed.
Nope. Nope, nope, nope. No blind Jew worship here. Not allowed. Yeah. Did you proceed to verse 33 yet?
No, I'm just getting there. But is this not just a magnificent book?
It's awesome. In both translations.
I know we went through the whole book, but brother, we could do this book 10 times.
It gets better. It gets better every time.
This is two seed line Christian identity. Perfectly explained by the angel in Ezra going through this. Verse 33, then I answered and said, how long and when will these things be? Why are our years few and evil? Meaning, when is this threshing of evil? When is this harvest of the evil seed line? When is it going to happen? Why are our years so few and evil?
Okay.
You know, why is our race?
Yeah. And I get asked this question a lot. Why does it appear that only we Israelites get punished for our sins and the Jews never get punished? It's because they're not covenant people. Our ancestors made the covenant with Yahweh to keep the law. That's why we get punished for breaking it. The Jews don't get punished for breaking it because they're not the covenant people.
Right, and they're going to be condemned eternally.
They will just be eliminated.
They die.
Liquidated.
Their punishment, they it's will liquidation. Be punished. It's just their punishment delayed.
Yes, it's delayed.
Until they die.
Yeah.
And I would say a lot of our punishment is more accurately termed as chastisement, chastening of a son.
Oh, of course.
You know, scourging as sons.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, we get punished, but it's really chastening.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I give my, when I would spank one of my children, I'm not punishing him because I hate him. You know, it's for his own good. I'm doing this because I love him. And I think a lot of our chastisement certainly falls in that type of a category. It's for our own good, our chastisement.
Yes. It's the parents who don't love their children who allow them to become wastrels, getting involved in drugs and porn and Hollywood, right? And all that stuff. I mean, those are the type of parents who don't love their children.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's continue here. Verse 34. He answered me and said, you do not hasten faster than the Most High, for your haste is for yourself. But the Highest hastens, meaning hastens for the end of the age, the Highest hastens on behalf of many. Did not the souls of the righteous in their chambers ask about these matters, saying, how long are we to remain here?
Right.
And when will come the harvest of our reward? Let me read a cross-reference here to a book that hadn't been written yet, Revelation chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to read verse 9, too.
Okay.
And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of Yahweh, for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Yahweh, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So this is a direct reference here. These souls were already in the chambers calling out, how long are we to remain here? John says that they're saying, how long, how long do we have to wait until you avenge our blood? So these are the souls of the righteous in chambers that are crying out to Yahweh, how long are we to remain here, Yahweh? When will come the harvest of our reward? When will you judge those that have slaughtered us? Do you not believe, brother, that they are crying out this, as we're even doing this show tonight? These millions of souls on the altar in these chambers, as Ezra describes them, mm-hmm. and Enoch describes them. These millions of our departed brethren are crying out to Yahweh. How much longer? How much longer? When are you going to judge those that slaughtered us? When will be the harvest? When will we get our reward? Patience of Yahweh is incredible. And now we see a little bit where the angel says, you don't hasten for the end of this age any more than Yahweh does. You hasten for yourself, Ezra. You want to see the end of evil, and you want your reward. But Yahweh hastens on behalf of these millions of white souls that have gone before us. Billions, tens, hundreds of millions that have been killed by the seed line of Cain, who cry out for judgment upon those that have slaughtered them. You can only imagine the din of that sound of them crying out. Praise Yahweh. It's very profound to know that that's going on right now.
Yes.
Yahweh surely will answer that prayer one of these days. Brother, would you read 34 and 35, the inner translation there?
Yes, he replied, that angel replying to Ezra, do not be in a greater hurry than the Most High himself. You are in a hurry for yourself alone, the Exalted One for many. Are not these the very questions asked by the righteous in the storehouse of souls? How long must we stay here? When will the harvest begin, the time when we get our reward? These verses prove that the dearly departed are still alive in the spirit.
Absolutely,
absolutely alive in the spirit.
And
they're praying for us.
And actively engaged in praying. That's why I love that verse, Nina, to the specific prayer of Abel. Exterminate the seed line of Cain. Annihilate the seed line of Cain.
Yeah,
boy, he'd be a hater today. He'd be accused of being a hater. But you don't think that the prayer of Abel is a righteous prayer? He was known as Abel, the righteous one. But that's a righteous prayer to pray for the extermination of the
Yeah, that's
Cain.
Right. That is a righteous prayer. And interestingly,
that prayer.
Yeah, verse 36 identifies an archangel that I never heard of before. How does yours read?
And Jeremiel, the archangel, answered them and said, so this is the answer of the archangel to these hundreds of millions of people, spirits that are praying.
Right.
He says, when the number of those like yourselves is completed, for he has weighed the age in a balance, and measured the times by measure, and numbered the times by number, and he will not move or arouse them until that measure.
Okay, so Yahweh has set an appointed time, and we can't rush it. Although we can ask him to rush it, and if we pray fervently enough, maybe he will. Bring it up, but even Yahshua says, if these days not be shortened, then all life would be destroyed. So, even though he has a set plan, I think if we pray hard enough, he'll do it sooner for our benefit. Because he answered Moses, he has answered Ezra, he answered Hezekiah. Okay. So the Bible is full of recordings of him answering the prayers of our ancestors.
That's right. And there is multiple instances of him mentioning that the age will be shortened.
Mm-hmm.
our sake. You know, the age will be shortened at the end for the sake of the elect. And Ezra had this view of this matter of, you know, I love how the archangel answers these brothers praying. He's saying, you know, when will the harvest come of our reward? How long do we have to remain here? He says, when the number of those like yourselves is completed, then the end will come.
Right.
And is that not what Ezra said back in chapter 2? As Ezra was given that amazing vision of Yahshua Christ rewarding the saints, he prayed, he said, take again your full number, O Zion. Conclude the list of your people who are clothed in white, who have fulfilled the law of the Lord. The number of your children whom you desired is full. Beseech the Lord's power that your people who have been called from the beginning may be made holy. Seems that's the key to the end of the age happening.
Mm-hmm.
Is Yahweh's the list of Yahweh's children will be complete.
Right.
And
well, that's
I believe that our preaching, the other shows that you do on Eurofolk Radio, this show, all of us in the chat room preaching this message, Yahweh is calling and concluding his list of his elect. And one of these days, the final one is going to be called.
Yeah.
And in the midst of all of this insane chaos, he's still calling his elect.
Yeah, and it's got to be a minimum.
Sadly,
right.
Sadly, brother, our people, if we have good, if we're wealthy and rich and life is good, let's face it, we don't need Yahweh that much.
Right.
We tend not to run after Yahweh when we're content.
Right.
When
right.
the bank account's full, you know, when we got plenty of money, when life is good, we can kind of do without Yahweh, can't we?
Well, we have tried, haven't we? Okay, there is no doubt that there has to be 144,000, 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes. That's the absolute minimum. I would think there's got to be at least 144,000 righteous Israelites on the planet. I would think there are. You know, we're not perfect. We're not all perfect. But we believe in righteousness and do our best to practice it. So we've got to be getting close.
I believe that personally, yeah. I think we are. So the archangel has answered these praying ones in the chamber. When the number of those like yourselves is completed, for he has weighed the age in a balance, measured the times by measure, numbered the times by number, he will not move or arouse them until that measure is fulfilled. In other words, he's totally in control of this situation.
Yeah.
You know, we tend to think Jews run the world. We tend to think,
they do, but he's allowed that to happen.
Yeah, they run the world, but he is in control of everything. He's allowing them to do this. But when the time is right, when the list is complete, he will just say, it's time.
Yeah, it's time.
Angels go round up the seed line of Cain.
Yeah. We'll bundle the tares. Anybody got a match? Right.
And this is the next few verses are
an eloquent comparison of a woman in labor, which is very often in scripture, in the canon, in the accepted canon. But here is Ezra giving us the same imagery, but I think even more eloquently than in other scriptures. Please read. Let me hear your version.
Well, okay, I have to read verse 39.
Okay.
Or actually verse 38, because we're just coming up to that. Then I answered and said, O sovereign Lord, but all of us also are full of ungodliness, and it is perhaps on account of us that the time of threshing is delayed for the righteous.
Yes, it's our fault.
On account of the sins of those who dwell on earth. See, that's quite a revelation he got there. And that was, you know, Peter. There's so many verses in the New Testament that I think go back to Enoch and go back to Ezra. And Peter had this same concept. I don't have it written out, but the verse where Peter talks about the day of the Lord and why it hasn't come yet, I think it's 1 Peter chapter. Golly, where's it? Of course, I want to find it. I can't find it. But he talks about some people that say the day, you know, the day of the Lord. Oh, here it is. I found it.
Okay.
2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I'm going to read verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, that is, the promise of his return, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the reason, you know, he kind of has the same view here as Ezra. If he's hesitating to end the age, it's for our sake, because of our unrighteousness. He's delaying it so that we will become righteous, giving us time to repent and become righteous. And, of course, most of us will talk that this verse in 2 Peter means that he's waiting for the whole world to repent and be saved and, you know, stupid foolishness. Of course, he's only speaking of the elect here, the elect Israelites, the chosen ones, not just the called, but the chosen. And but this patience of Yahweh is for our sake. And he says, he answered me and said, go and ask a woman who is with child, if when her 9 months have been completed, her womb can keep the child within her any longer. This is a beautiful analogy. Mm-hmm. You see the wisdom in these verses? You know, this angel is just speaking divine words here. Amazing. Just, who could write this? You couldn't. Nobody could just come up with this. This is scripture we're reading. You know, could the woman keep the child in her womb any longer? And I said, no, Lord, it cannot. Mm. And he said to me, in Hades, the chambers of the souls are like the womb. For just as a woman who is in travail makes haste to escape the pangs of birth, so also do these places hasten to give back those things that were committed to them from the beginning. Then the things that you desire to see will be disclosed to you.
Yes.
So these chambers that are containing these souls apparently are being likened to a woman's womb.
Right.
They're desirous to...
waiting to be born.
When the time is right, these souls will be released. Surely this will be at the end of the age. What a time that will be, brother. Hard to imagine. I hope we get to see it. I believe we will in this lifetime. Which we shall see. Verse 43 here. Or verse 44. I answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, and if it is possible, and if I am worthy, show me this also, whether more time is to come than has passed, or whether for us the greater part has gone by, meaning to the end of the age. For I know what has gone by, but I do not know what is to come. And he said to me, stand at my right side, and I will show you the interpretation of a parable. So I stood and looked, and behold, a flaming furnace passed by before me. And when the flame had gone by, I looked, and behold, the smoke remained. And after this, a cloud full of water passed before me and poured down a heavy and violent rain. And when the rainstorm had passed, drops remained in the cloud. And he said to me, consider it for yourself, for as the rain is more than the drops, and the fire is greater than the smoke, so the quantity that passed was far greater. But drops and smoke remained. Then I prayed and said, do you think that I shall live until those days? Or who will be alive in those days? And he answered me and said, concerning the signs about what you ask me, I can tell you in part, but I was not sent to tell you concerning your life, for I do not know. Very interesting reading what he's saying to Ezra. How about Ezra's burden? he wanted to be alive at the end of the age, did he not? Did he not just want to be there and experience this amazing thing?
Mm-hmm.
What's that read for you, Eli? Is it much different? I appreciate his birth here. He wants the age to end, and he wants to be there at the end to see it and to participate in it.
Yes.
And personally, I think this is why these writings have been preserved for us. I believe this is a sign that we have not just discovered these writings, but have immersed ourselves in them. And I believe they were preserved for this group of people that Ezra was hoping he would be in. Same for the writings of Enoch. I think the writings of Ezra were written specifically for the group of people that would be alive.
I said, oh, yeah, for us. Exactly.
Us.
Yes.
For us right now. This is why Judeo-Christianity has no clue of these books, nor
no.
ever will have a clue of them.
No.
They're not worthy of this truth. This truth is not for them. This truth is for the elect. I believe it's for those in the 144,000 to show them what's approaching, to prepare them, to strengthen their spirit for the trial that's going to happen at the end of this age, what we're probably getting ready to go through here very shortly. Do you not feel strengthened in your spirit by reading these things?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, these are profound, incredible writings written for the people that will be alive at the end of the age, that will be acquainted with racial truth, that will understand who the elect race is, you know, that will just rejoice to be a white person rather than hate their white privilege that they were born with.
Yeah.
By the way, I give thanks every day I'm white. I love being white. I have no white guilt whatsoever.
Yes.
I have no burden for other races whatsoever.
Yeah.
I love being white. I have no tolerance for anyone that hates being white.
Amen. Or that hates whites.
I have no tolerance whatsoever for any person that wants to be with someone of another race in a relationship. I would gladly counsel them if it had not happened yet. But if they want to lower themselves to be with animals, so be it. I have a burden for those that are the ones that Yahweh is calling, those that are on this list that Ezra references. That's my burden for those people.
Yeah.
I believe that's the only group on the planet at this point that counts. Yahweh calling out our brothers and sisters.
Right.
Once he is called and will choose, that will make up this list, the concluding this list of the righteous sealed ones. That will bring the end of the age.
Yes.
I love this truth that Ezra lays out for us.
Yeah. Okay, we only have less than 7 minutes. So do you want to take it to the end of the chapter and, you know, pick up from here next time, and let's just get through it for now?
Well, that is the end of the chapter there, verse 52.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if your chapter's a little different or not, but 52 is the end of that chapter, and then that opens up a whole new chapter where he gets into some of the signs that will be going on.
Okay.
on the end of the age, and maybe we can just get into the first verse or two, and that will surely take us for a few minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Let me read the first verse of chapter 5. Now concerning the signs, because the Ezra had just asked him about the signs. Now concerning the signs, Ezra, behold, the days are coming when those who dwell on earth shall be seized with great terror, and the way of truth shall be hidden, and the land shall be barren of faith, and unrighteousness shall be increased beyond what you yourself see, and beyond what you heard of formerly. And the land which you now see ruling shall be waste and untrodden, and men shall see it desolate. Brother, this is so accurate. How about the way of truth being hidden in the final days?
Oh. Try turning on a television. Right? There's no truth there whatsoever. Yeah.
I bet if you pull out the Chicago, you pull out the Chicago phone book right now, yellow pages.
Uh-huh.
You go to church. You go to churches. How many, I'll bet you there's in the thousands in your area of churches.
But
certainly many, many, many hundreds of so-called Christian churches in the city of Chicago. And yet, brother, the way of truth is not in any of them, probably. Not a single one of them.
No. No.
The way of truth shall be hidden in the final days.
Yeah, it's the manipulation of... Manipulation of words.
I mean, is this not the great apostasy that Enoch prophesied that we got into in the final...
Yeah.
In the prophecy...
Yeah, and that Paul prophesied in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The word Christian today means the exact opposite of what it used to mean. A Christian used to believe in the Bible, in both Testaments, Old and New, and in the sovereignty of our Lord and Master, Yahshua. Okay? Today's so-called Christian believe in whatever the Jew tells them to believe. Right? That's a completely, that's the opposite of a Christian.
And I believe we're quickly coming to the time when the earth, the ones that dwell on earth, will be seized with great terror.
Yes.
Because of the turmoil that's approaching. And remember, we saw earlier that when the Jews are spontaneously combusted, as we saw is going to happen
right?
worldwide.
Spontaneous combustion, right? Yeah. And I'm looking at verse 7 here, and it just struck me. The Dead Sea will cast up fish, and at night a voice will sound unknown to the many, but heard by all. Could this be a reference to the Dead Sea Scrolls?
I don't know. Let me read it in mine. It says, the Sea of Sodom, which is the Dead Sea, shall cast up, and one whom the many do not know shall make his voice heard by night.
Obviously, there's no fish in the Dead Sea. That's why it's called the Dead Sea. There's so much salt. There's hardly any living things in there at all, right? So this has got to be figurative language. It's casting up what? Fish? It's casting up knowledge, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Chasms will open in many places and spurt out incessant flames. Wild beasts will range from... some of this language is literal, some of it's figurative. But it could literally happen because of it. Yeah, an earthquake
2,500 years ago, the angel prophesied that the way of truth in the final days will be hidden.
Yes.
And yet there's probably more churches, to use that term, out there now than there's ever been.
Churches, right?
And yet the way of truth is completely hidden right now. And yet those of us that Yahweh is calling find this truth. We found Christian identity. That is the truth on the earth today. That's the way of truth. I believe that with all my heart. Christian identity is the way of truth.
Yes,
and
absolutely, no doubt about it.
Surely barren of faith, no doubt about that. Yet
Yahweh
is calling us. He's completing his list of his elect, and when we hit that final one, we're going to see the end of the age.
Yeah. All right, brother. Our time is up. It's automatic. We get cut off at the 9:30 p.m. So Chicago time. So I think we've really made a good dent in 2 Esdras and explained what it's all about. This is a message for the elect in these end times.
Amen.
No doubt about it. Okay. All right, Greg, thanks for joining me again this evening. And Yahweh bless and praise all of the saints in the chat room who have been very patiently waiting for the judgment day, just as you and I have. And that day is coming very soon. No, we don't have to promise that. The Bible has promised us that. So it's just a matter for us to be a little bit more patient. All right, brother. Thanks for joining us. And praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. See you all next Friday. Good night, Greg.
Praise Yahweh. Good night.
Call recording has been completed.